Welcome to Process Breakdown, where we get proven and successful entrepreneurs to reveal step by step what's currently working behind the scenes in their businesses. Sit back, relax, and take notes as you discover how today's guest has been able to systematize their entire business so that it runs successfully without their constant involvement, like a well-oiled machine on overdrive. And here is your host.
Hi, my name is Owen McGavin-Owell, and welcome to episode 64 of the Process Breakdown podcast. Do you want to deliver a consistent experience to your customers? An experience that is predictable, one that they can count on all the time. In this interview, my guest reveals the step he took to systematize his company so that with less employees, he has been able to increase their output and also increase his bottom line profits while continuing to deliver a consistent experience to his customers. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor. Are you tired of being the bottleneck in your business? Do you want to get everything out of your head and document step by step how you get tasks done so your employees know what you know? Well, sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. And now, let's get started with the interview. My guest today is Shahzad Nawaz, Managing Director of AA Accountants. Shahzad, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's great to be with you, Owen. Thank you for having me.
And I can call you Shaz, right, for short?
That would make my life easier and your life easier too, sir.
Okay, so this interview is all about talking about, you know, how, you know, the guests on the show have been able to systematize their business so it runs successfully without them. And, you know, before we proceed, I want to kind of have you give the listener, you know, what would you say is a mind-blowing result that you now experience as a result of going through that process of systematizing and automating your business?
Well, I think the first and the biggest, Owen, is that we have less people working in the business, and yet the output is bigger. So our turnover is higher, our profit is clearly higher because we've got less staff overheads, and the business is functioning better. Big thing is consistency. Too often, with my own experience of buying products and services from different businesses, is you receive a different experience every time you buy from them. Whereas once your business is systematized, you can pretty much have a very consistent approach so your customers know what they're buying from you in terms of the experience they're going to receive. And more often than not, people are buying the experience as opposed to the service or the product, in my experience.
Awesome. So how would you say your company has been transformed as a result of systematizing your business?
Well, as accountants, generally, we have a very bad picture out there of being boring, dull, in gray suits.
My wife is an accountant, by the way.
Well, there you go. I've just praised her and myself.
Go ahead.
And we're very reactive. We wait for things to happen. We wait for our clients to approach us.
Yeah.
We wait for our clients to refer others to us. So one of the big transformations for us, Owen, is that we've become very much proactive. So we go out there before the event talking to our clients, talking to our suppliers, and talking to our potential clients. So we're proactive as opposed to reactive. That's a big one. We've also we're working much closer with our clients, and we've built a better relationship with them. So before we were systematized, things happened ad hoc. Mm-hmm. Now things happen due to a process being in place, and that all is linked with systematization.
Awesome.
Things get done on time. Before, things were done, but they weren't always done in a speedy manner, and I think speed stuns. So the quicker you do things, the more people value them.
Yeah, and go ahead, finish your thought.
Especially in the service industry, because it's an intangible. People can't feel it, touch it. So the only way, or one of the ways they can assess how good you are, is how well you keep them in the loop, how well you communicate with them, and how quickly you do things.
Yeah, and how would you say your personal life has been transformed as a result of systematizing your business?
Well, before, I used to work between 70 to 80 hours every single week. And I thought,
wow,
this was my punishment for starting a business. and I thought, I've got the next, because I started very young. So I started my business at the age of 24. Mm-hmm. So I was a prime chicken, and working 78 hours a week, and it was madness. I used to take 3 or 4 days off in a year.
Wow.
For my holidays, because I thought I had to work, and partly that was because lack of profits, lack of cash flow, and I thought this is the way everybody else does it. Now I work between 40 to 45 hours a week, and I can pretty easily bring that down to say 25 hours if I wanted to. But I'm an entrepreneur. I do like work, and I don't see work as work because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And, so I'm working half the time.
That's good. And since that, you know, you have systems in place that allows it to run without you, what would you say has been the longest time so far that you've actually been away from your business?
In one stretch, it's been 4 weeks. But last year, I took off 10 weeks holiday.
Wow.
This week, I have penciled in my diary 13 weeks. So that's 25% of the calendar year. And that's going to happen.
That's good. And so I want to give the listeners some kind of context as to what your business is all about. So, you know, what does your company do and what big pain do you solve for your customers?
Now, I'd love to make it sound really exciting for you.
Owen. Make it sound as exciting as you can.
I can't. It's accountancy. We're number crunchers. We're bean counters. You just can't make it sound exciting. But what we really do is we help our clients gain the freedom they were seeking before they started their business. So they had a particular mission, a particular vision. Yeah. Okay? They write their business plan. Unfortunately, the only thing guaranteed in a plan is that things won't go to plan. So what we do is we help them realize those goals and those dreams. That's what we do in a nutshell. We just happen to be accountants.
And how many full-time employees do you have?
At the moment, we have 6 full-time employees. Previously, before we were fully systematized, we had 11 people working for us.
Wow, so you went down but increased the output in terms of numbers of employees, but the output is higher. And so what would you say is is your company profitable, and what was last year's annual revenue, probably what do you even expect for this year?
Last year's annual revenue in dollars was around $450,000. This year, we're targeting between $550,000 to $650,000, and I would say it's going to be more closer towards 650,000, because in the last 2 months, in January and February, we've signed up about $35,000 worth of extra business.
If that
carries on, we're going to add 200,000 to our top line turnover.
Wow, that's awesome. And so let's take us back to, you know, that point in the business when it was not systematized and automated like it is now. What was wrong with it at that time?
Well, before I started this business, Owen, I worked for Ernst & Young, Bank of New York, and J.P. Morgan Chase. So I came from the corporate world, and I lacked expertise. I didn't know how to run a small business. And in the UK here, we're not trained how to run businesses. So you just have to learn as you go along. So I had to learn everything from A to Z, you know, how to make the coffee, to Hoover, to clean the office. Everything had to be learned. And my expertise was in accountancy. So I was your typical bean counter. I knew nothing about operations. I knew nothing about sales. I knew nothing about marketing. I knew nothing about managing people. So we were reasonably successful because I was working hard, but we weren't profitable, and there's a big difference between that.
Yeah, and back then when the business was not systematized, you know, what was the lowest point, and describe how bad it got?
Well, I was working pretty much every hour under the sun, and I openly share this with people when I'm speaking to audiences, is I've worked every single hour around the clock. So I would start at stupid times like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning because I'm awake, I'm up. So I think rather than lay in bed or go and watch morning TV, let's go to work. and I finished work at 3 or 4 in the morning as well.
Wow, no sleep, huh?
Crazy, crazy hours. Well, it wasn't 24 hours around the clock. I'd start, you know, 3, 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'd finish at 7, 8 in the evening. If I started later, 9 or 10 o'clock, during tax season, I'd finish at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. So,
talk,
you know,
about tax season. I know how that goes for accountants.
18, 20 hours. I was in debt. I was owed $180,000,
wow,
by my clients. But because we were so busy in servicing them, mm-hmm, we took our eye off the main goals.
Yeah.
So we lost focus. The employees were overworked. I was overworked. My business partner was overworked. And I thought, good God, why did I ever start this? What did I do wrong that I am where I am today? And that was really the lowest point. I just wanted to get away.
And when would you say, you know, in the story we've been talking about so far, when was your breaking point? You know, when did you realize that, hey, you had to change things around and systematize and automate your business? What happened?
Well, I think as entrepreneurs, it's a lonely business. It's a lonely journey. And sometimes you don't want to share your experiences with others. But I made that wise move of being bold and admitting perhaps I was failing, perhaps things were slipping. So I was speaking to a friend of mine back in March 2009, and I said, I have these problems and these issues. And he said, I should read a book called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber.
Yeah.
I read that book, and that gave me a rude awakening. I thought, this is exactly what I should be doing, and this is exactly what I'm not doing. So the penny dropped.
Yeah.
The puzzle all came together. The missing link was there. My business could be a thriving business if it was systematized.
Wow. And what was the very first step you took at that time to solve the problems you mentioned during the lowest point?
So I read the book, and then I realized there was a DVD called Small Business Success by Michael Gerber. I watched that, and I thought, this makes more sense now. So I got my team together one day. I said, let's buy some food. Food is on me. And accountants don't like spending money generally, so I think they were pretty shocked that this guy's spending money, so something must be going on.
Yeah.
We watched that presentation together. Mm-hmm. After watching it, we all agreed that this was the best way forward. We had to implement what we've just heard, and those 60 minutes changed the way my team started thinking about the business. So we agreed that if this business was to continue, we would look to systematize and make our business process dependent. And that's what happened.
Wow. And what was the second step you took to, you know, solve the problem?
Well, I thought, this is a big, big job. It's a massive job. I can't do it on my own. I'm already working between 12 to 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
I've only got so much time, so much energy. So what we did was we said, we need a systems champion, somebody who's going to look after helping this business become system dependent, going to basically create our own manual. So we found somebody in the team who had that kind of eye for detail for writing systems.
Mm-hmm.
He had a law degree. He was working for me. So he had good writing skills, and he could basically build documents. So we made him our systems champion. So it was his job to create systems and then ensure they were being followed.
And what other steps did you take to solve the problem that you mentioned at the lowest point?
So we basically broke down the business into different departments. So now we had a sales department, a marketing department, operations, finance, and then we said we need clarity on what everybody does. Because people were doing different things on different days. They were doing what they felt like.
Yeah.
So we had created clear job descriptions, clear roles, clear departments, so everybody had clarity. And resistance is created through a lack of clarity. Once you've got clarity, you know where you're going. Once we had that, we were then able to think, okay, now let's. What are the most important systems? So you've got to start with the important and the urgent first. So we started with the important systems. So mm-hmm. We started writing them down. We started testing them. So one person would write them down. Somebody else would test them who was not involved in the process to make sure that the system worked. And then something else which really helped us change the focus is we had very clear KPIs. And one of those KPIs, so a KPI is a key performance indicator for anybody who doesn't know what that means.
Key performance indicator, yes.
Indicator. One of those KPIs was for us to create a fixed number or a minimum number of systems every single week, every single month, then test them, implement them, and then ensure that they're being followed. Because you can write systems every day. If they're not being followed, Owen, then there's no point in having systems.
Yeah. And speaking about, you said you guys followed the most important systems first and implemented those first. I'm wondering, how did you even prioritize what order of steps to take when it came to systematizing business? You know, how did you guys decide on which systems to or processes to create first?
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah, of course it is. So we thought, who are the really important stakeholders in our business who we really need to keep happy? First of all, obviously, it's the team members. They were happy anyway because we were going through a process of change, mm-hmm. and they could see the light at the end of the tunnel. And it definitely wasn't a train coming this way. So we thought the focus should be on our customers. Yeah. It should be on customer service. We should look to improve every single interaction we have with our customers. And the team was enthusiastic about this. We spoke to some of our best customers. They were enthusiastic. So we started with customer service.
Yes. And then what was that? What was the next point you guys focused on?
So alongside that, we thought if we really want to improve this business, we have to have a proper sales and marketing function. So first, we worked on customer service. Alongside that, in fact, we worked on sales and marketing. Alongside that, we thought we've got a huge problem here in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so long I can carry on working because I can't fund the business. I can't keep carrying on business. So we systematized how we were going to collect debt from our clients.
Wow.
And that worked really, really well.
And you guys now moved into the point of looking at the roles and responsibilities for each person and systematizing what each individual does, right?
Absolutely, because once they've got clarity on what they're doing, then they can do that job to the best of their ability. Nobody comes to work thinking, I'm going to really do a bad day and I'm going to make sure I annoy my boss. Nobody wants to do that. But if you give them clarity, if you tell them what the boundaries are, they're more likely to help and support you achieve the best in your business.
And how did you document procedures and processes for your business at that time? What tools did you use?
So I was working with an organization in the UK who Michael Gerber had worked with,
mm-hmm.
and they had a system called or a piece of software called System Builder. And on there, you could basically store every single system that you had, and then you could give your team members limited access or full access, depending on their access rights, and you could search for any system by typing in the keyword.
Yeah.
So the name of the system had to be obvious, and then the keyword would pick it up.
And at that time when you were working on systematizing the business, you know, what books or mentors, you know, had the most influence on you, and why?
Okay, Michael Gerber, in terms of systematization, it would definitely be Michael Gerber because his book in plain English makes a lot of sense. And since then, I think I've shared at least 100 copies with my clients, friends, and associates. And every single one of them has improved their business as a direct result. And I think Mike has probably sold over at least 1 million copies of his book. That was fantastic. Another book which helped me change my focus was The 1 Minute Manager by Ken Blanchard. Fantastic book. Most people say,
I have to check that book out because I keep hearing about it.
Yeah. A lot of people say, I don't like reading books. I don't have the time. Ken makes it really easy. That book is really easy to read. I think I read it in one sitting.
Wow.
So one evening, I read the whole book. That's how good that was. And a book by Jim Collins, which is called Good to Great. That was fantastic as well.
Wow. And what would you say at the time when you were creating this system, what was the biggest challenge that you experienced when you tried to initially create these systems, and how did you solve them?
So the biggest challenge, I think, in any organization, small or large, is trying to change the focus and perhaps trying to change your people, because like Michael Bash of FedEx said, people don't mind change, they mind being changed. So that was our biggest challenge, trying to change the mindset of the of our team members. So that was our biggest challenge. And then the second thing was to help our employees or team members become more enthusiastic, so to motivate them. So we, in our KPIs, every single person had to read one book every single month, and they had to either go on a seminar or a webinar every single month, and that helped them change their mindset. And I think once you can change people's mindset, then you're making progress.
Yeah, because I know how you mentioned initially you got them watching that video, so I'm sure they were all excited. But the thing with excitement and motivation is that you need to keep pumping it with fuel, otherwise it's gonna the fuel is gonna finish. People are back to grumbling about changes. So you have to. I like that, pumping them with seminars and books that keep that fuel off
and
going forward. Go ahead.
And something which is very instructive. Positive thinking is great. You can pretend to be happy by being positive. That doesn't last long, Owen. But if you can create a reason to be happy, if you can create a reason to be positive, that lasts longer. And that only happens if you change your mindset.
And what would you say was the second biggest challenge that you experienced while you were trying to create the systems initially, and how do you solve it?
The second biggest problem, I'd say, or challenge, was to change people's habits, because once people are used to doing things in a particular way, then they'll carry on doing it that way. So it was trying to ensure and encourage our team members to follow the system. That initially was a challenge, was a hurdle, but we soon overcame that. Once you're persistent, your team get to realize that these new changes are here to stay. So either they can join the team, or either they're going to have a tough time. Exactly. they leave. So we started tracking number of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So how many mistakes are we making on a particular job? And having that kind of accountability and transparency helped our team members, because they knew if they weren't doing their job properly, a client somewhere was losing out, and that wasn't good for the business. But what we also did was we started rewarding people for exceptional behavior, for doing a good job. So we tracked bad behavior, and we started rewarding good behavior. So if you did really well in a month, you could take half a day off every single month on a Friday afternoon. We went on team events, team meals. So the culture changed. Rather than everybody working individually, we were a team in the true sense.
Is there any other challenge that you experienced at that time?
Because we had one person writing the systems, for somebody else to come and follow that system isn't always easy. The person who's writing it is writing it because they understand what they're writing. Somebody else can come and read that, and they may infer or come to a different understanding. So we had to really kind of dumb down
the writing,
the systems.
Yeah.
The writing, so the whole thing was write it for a 7-year-old. And if a 7-year-old can read and understand and follow this, then we're doing a good job.
Wow. Given all the challenges that you experienced, earlier, why did you stay committed to the goal of systematizing your business?
Because I started researching and looking at the large corporations, organizations, the truly successful people. And what I soon realized was there was a link. And one of the chains in those links was that they all had systematized businesses. So I realized that systematization was the only way we could improve our business. I was also exposed to a guy called W. Clement Stone, and I read his book, The Success System That Never Fails. So it's very apparent to me that Clement Stone became successful because he had a system. I also realized, like I said, all large corporations rely on systems.
Wow. So
there was no way I was heading back. Either we were going to be a systematized business
or bust.
or go home. And there was no way I was going home.
Yeah. And so moving back in that story, taking a step forward, at what point in time did you feel like the business was systematized, that it could run without you?
Well, my initial calculation, which is a very foolish calculation, was that it would take us 18 months.
Yeah.
Little did I know it would take us much longer. So to kind of become fully systematized, Lord, I don't think you ever become fully systematized, because it's always an iterative process.
Yeah.
You're always improving, You can't stand still. But it took us around 3.5 years to get to a place where we had every single system in place. But even now, we're improving, Owen. We're always improving our systems. We're finding better ways. We're looking at innovative ways to save time, to speed up the process, to add more value. So it's an ongoing process, and as technology changes, so like you've got some fantastic software, which wasn't available all those years ago, or if it was, it wasn't known to me. So as technology improves, you've got to improve your systems as well.
Yeah, and so just to give the listener behind the scenes look into your business. So I want to know what are the different parts of your business that you have, and to even make this clear, let me picture this way for you. So imagine that on one part of this conveyor belt is a potential customer who needs some clarity to the finances of their business and needs accounting help, right? And on the other hand of this conveyor belt is that same customer who has been transformed, and you guys have delivered the service to them, and they're raving about you guys and even referring customers. But behind the scenes, there are different parts of your business that work together to make that happen. So let's go behind the scenes and talk about the different parts of the business.
Okay. First of all, I think it's very clear to understand what your customers want. And in order to understand that, you've got to have a very good sales system to capture that data. So sales and marketing is part of that conveyor belt, if I can call it that. Then you've got finance, you've got operations, you've got customer care, you've got people management. And then you've got to kind of realize what are the really important USPs, your unique selling propositions. And in the field of accountancy, speed and efficiency is very, very important. Mm-hmm. So we realized we've got to do things quickly. Now, in the UK, people take around 40 to 80 days to turn around a set of accounts.
Wow.
Whereas if you're turning them around in 20 to 25 days, I mean, it takes us 25 days. But if you're doing it less than 30 days, that's a noticeable difference.
Yeah.
So we had a target of 25 days. We're achieving 25 days. Now we're working towards bringing it down to 20 days. So it's about mapping out the journey of your customer and thinking how can we add value to that process.
Okay, and so
does that answer your question?
I think in a way it does, because earlier on you mentioned you had sales and marketing, which is marketing is putting the word there about what you guys are doing. Sales is converting the leads as they come in, and operations is actually carrying. Operations will be the accountants doing the work, right? Finances will be people managing your billing and all that stuff to make sure that you guys get paid for the work. I'm thinking customer care is probably making sure that, operations is delivering on time and following up with the customers to make sure everything is getting done. Basically, being the eyes of the customer within the company, make sure that customer experience is what it needs to be. That's kind of what
Yeah, you're right. I'll make it very simple. So if I was to make it simple and easy to understand, there's three parts to a business. And like I said, this is simplified. Mm-hmm. So number one is lead generation. Mm-hmm. Number two is lead conversion. Number three is fulfillment. And pretty much every department, every section of your business will fall into one of those three categories.
Awesome. And so what systems do you have in place that enables your employees to know exactly what they need to do now?
Okay. I read a fantastic book called The Balance Scorecard.
What I noticed about you, a lot of the things you say, it's like you read a lot of books. I need to read all those books that you recommended. I love them. Go ahead.
It's a book called The Balance Scorecard by Kaplan and Norton. And I think around 70 or 80% of the Fortune 500 companies use that model in their business. So we came up with something similar called a business one-page plan, where we track 14 KPIs. Three or four are around sales and marketing. So they're our sales drivers. Three or four, on average, are your cost drivers. And three or four are your success drivers. So we use that. Alongside that, we have personal one-page plans. So these are personal key performance indicators for every single team member.
Okay.
And then what we have is we have a daily focus, because success is only achieved if you break it down day by day. And you can only achieve it if you know what success looks like. So every single morning, all of my team come into my office and we spend a maximum of 10 minutes standing up, writing down on a whiteboard exactly what we're going to achieve today. And if we achieve that, we've been successful. We also share what we achieved yesterday. So it gives transparency and accountability to the process. everybody can offer help to each other, and we all know we're making progress.
And how do you track and verify the results being delivered by your employees?
So we use our business one-page plan where we record absolutely everything in relation to those 12 to 14 KPIs. We track the average score for our customer happiness. So we have a target for how many customer feedback forms we want to receive every single month. Mm-hmm. Then we have an average score for the kind of score we want to achieve. So I think over the last year, in terms of 2014, our average score, I think, was 9.35 out of 10.
Wow, that's impressive.
Which is a pretty high score. We make sure that our goals and objectives, our targets are SMART, and I'm sure you've come across SMART, which is an acronym.
Can you explain that for the listener just in case?
Yeah. So the S is that the goal or target is specific. The M is it's measurable. The A is agreed. The R is relevant. And the T is trackable.
Okay.
But there's four or five different words people use for that acronym, but that's the one that's widely accepted.
Yeah, and so now that you have all this free time in the business, which areas of the business do you now focus on and why?
So I don't do accounts anymore. I don't do any tax anymore. The only thing that I focus on is sales and marketing. And I think most, if not all, small business owners should be looking and working on sales and marketing. So my role is not to offer accountancy services. My job is to market accountancy services. That's the number one role of a small business owner. So that's what I'm enthusiastic about. That's mm-hmm. what I enjoy. And that's the only thing that I do. I work with lots of clients where I help and coach them through similar challenges. So I've had just over now 2,300 business growth consultations.
Wow.
In the last 12 years. And that's working really, really well. And it's an added benefit to my business. So something which I think your listeners will benefit from is think about what other services do my clients or customers need that we can offer, possibly at a very low cost, but a very high perceived value to our clients. That makes a big difference.
And so what would you say is the next stage of growth for your business? You know, what do you plan to achieve next and why?
So I think we've got a beautifully automated system or a beautifully automated business. And it's just a case of growing that to as big as we like. So we've got two parts of the business. One is accountancy and taxation. The other one is coaching. And it's just growing it at a pace which we're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our plan. It might not sound exciting, but it works for us. So, but I also have three businesses, Owen.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So I have this business, I have a daycare business, and then I have a business related to the car industry.
Wow.
And I've pretty much systematized all three, and all three work very, very well. I've written two books. I'm a keen blogger, and I am a professional speaker. So I've been able to blog, write books, and explore my speaking opportunities because I've freed up time from doing the day-to-day tasks in my accountancy business.
That's awesome. And can you, as we're rounding up the interview, can you summarize the entire, process step by step that a listener should do to transform their business so it runs successfully without them?
So I think the first thing you need is clarity. Clarity on purpose, clarity on where you're going, and clarity on how you're going to achieve what you're looking to achieve. And in order to have that clarity, you've got to write things down. So write down what's important to you, to your business, and to your life, and what do you really want to achieve. Once you've got that clarity and you know what your business is going to look like, then set out your vision and your mission. So think about, if I had a magic wand, how would I create my business? Or knowing everything that I know, mm-hmm. how and if I was to start again, what would I do? And once you have that clarity, everything else falls into place because clarity is the bedrock.
Is that like starting with the end in mind, knowing what the end of the business or like the place the business needs to be like, and from there starting backwards? Is that kind of
that's partly. I mean, that's a line that you've pinched over from Stephen Covey in Seven Habits of Highly Effective or Successful People. So you've got to start with the end in mind in terms of what will my business look like. But you've also got to be clear on what's important to me. Different people have different things which make them happy, which make them feel like they're successful. So have clarity on those things.
And what will you say is the very next step for the person who's listened to this interview all the way to this point to take in order to transform their business so it runs successfully without them?
I think the first thing they should do is have a very cheap investment. That is to buy Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth. The second step would be to speak to their team members, to get them on board and to share the new vision with them. The third step is to break their business down into different departments, which we've spoken about, sales, marketing, finance, operations, etc. And then to have very clear roles and responsibilities. And then there's only one thing they've got to do, which is pick up the phone or call you guys and buy your software. seriously, because that will help them systematize their business. Awesome. I did exactly the same thing by working in the UK with the company that Michael Gerber had worked with. Mm-hmm. And you need something which works, and I know your software works pretty well. So that's what they've got to do, invest in their business.
And thanks for the plug. And so is there a question that you were wishing that I asked you during this interview that I did not ask? If so, pose the question and the answer. Or if not that, you know, if you think there's something additional that we need to cover that will make this interview even more valuable based on what we've been talking about, feel free to share that.
So is this a question that is related to being a business owner, or is it a question...
Whatever you think will make even add more value to what we've been talking about so far.
I think you should have asked perhaps a question based on purpose. So why am I in business?
Go ahead. Why are you in business?
So I'm in business, to change people's lives, to leave a positive impact, to help them achieve their goals and aspirations. And I do that by being their trusted advisor and looking after their financial affairs.
I like that. It basically takes the accounting title and just makes it even more sexy, because you can say that or you can say you're an accountant. You know,
exactly.
Which one is going to make them open their wallet and say, oh, I hire you? Is the one you just said just now. And what would you say is the best way for the listener to connect with you? And thank you for doing the interview.
Well, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn, so they can find me there under Shaz Nawaz. I have my own weekly blog on my AA Accountants website. They can connect with me there. Both of my books will be on Amazon soon. If they want to have a look at those books, they can have them as well. So there's quite a few different avenues which are all linked with social media.
Okay, and so now I'm speaking to you, the listener, right now. If you've enjoyed this interview, you can do us a favor by leaving us a review on these two places, on iTunes. To do that, you go to sweetprocess.com/iTunes. And if you have an Android phone, you can leave us a review on the Stitcher app by going to sweetprocess.com/Stitcher. And if you've enjoyed this interview, obviously, I'm sure you have other entrepreneurs as colleagues that you feel will also enjoy this interview. I want you to refer the interview to them. And finally, if you are at that point in your business where you're tired of being the bottleneck and you want to document step by step how you get tasks done, so that on one hand you can be able to document procedures and processes for your employees to know what you know, and on the other hand be able to assign and delegate tasks to your employees and monitor their progress all the way to completion, then feel free to sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. Shaz, thanks for doing the interview.
You're welcome, my friend. Thank you for having me, and I hope your listeners find my experience useful.
And we're done.
Before you go, we want to leave you with a free gift. Get your free systemization checklist. Avoid wasting valuable time documenting procedures for the wrong tasks. Get it right the first time with the systemization checklist. Download the checklist by going to sweetprocess.com/checklist.